Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years now. And we thank the Lord for this radio station. We thank the Lord for all the prayers, the support, and most of all for you, the listener. Those of you who tune in each and every week, we appreciate you. And for those of you who are listening today for the first time, we invite you to come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about the unknown God. And this is a message from the book of Acts. And we've been going through the book of Acts for a few weeks now. The template, the blueprint for the New Testament church is in the book of Acts. And so if you want to know what the church is supposed to look like and what the body of Christ is supposed to be doing, just read through the book of Acts and you will get a very good idea of God's plan, God's blueprint for the New Testament church. So turn in your Bible to Acts 17. We're going to start in verse 15 here in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to take up this message here in just a minute in Acts chapter 17. But first, just want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. We're wrapping up a three-day crusade in Otiato Village, a village about 20 miles from where I live. And it's an area where there's lots of witches. Witchcraft is predominant religion, I guess you could say. And then also lots of Muslims in that area. And also lots of thieves, cattle thieves, robbers, outlaws, whatever you call them. And so we're going in there. We've been in there for a couple of days now. We're going in there to finish up this weekend. And so keep that in your prayers. We preach crusades in Africa because it's a great way to reach people who have never been in church or won't come into church. And you can meet them out there in the village square. You can meet them in the marketplace and preach to them. They'll stand there and listen to the worship music, to the worship teams. And then hopefully they'll stay around and you can preach to them. And so that's why we preach crusades. It's an African tradition. And people here, because the weather for the most part is fairly nice, people here don't mind standing out in the open. Last night we had a shower on the first day of the crusade and people stayed around. They ducked in under an awning and they stayed around. So we finished up the crusade at 7 p.m. A little bit wet, but it was great. Had some people come into the kingdom, people come forward for healing. And so that's why we preach crusades, is to reach the lost in the places where they are, and we go to them. So today we're going to be talking about the unknown God, the name of the message, and this is a story of the Apostle Paul and his travels to Greece. He's in Greece now, and in Athens specifically. And in verse 15 of chapter 17, it says, those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Well, I'm going to jump on down to verse 21. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some good thing, some new thing. And of course, we know that Athens was the center, the epicenter of philosophy. And even to this day, Greek philosophers are talked about, held in high esteem, Socrates and Plato and all of the Greek philosophers. And so that's what they did in this city, is they sat around and they discussed new things and they talked about philosophy. their philosophy of life, their philosophy of death, and all of the different philosophies that people have, even to this day, that consume people. And many coffee shops around the world and in America, people sit around every day and they talk about philosophy, they talk about politics, they talk about genealogies, and they spend a lot of time just talking, and every new thing then becomes a subject of discussion. Well, verse 22, Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the description, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you." And so among all the idols that were in this city of Athens, I'm talking about the physical idols, ones carved out of stone, or ones carved out of wood, or ones made into jewelry or whatever, he has found one in this city called To the Unknown God. And so this unknown God statue or idol then became the entry point for the Apostle Paul to start preaching the gospel. And as you travel around the world and you see many, many cultures, it's very interesting. Watching culture here in Kenya is one of my favorite pastimes, coming here as a person who knew nothing really about Africa. And so watching the culture here is a very interesting pastime. I drink tea in the afternoon for about an hour and then sit and watch people go by, watch people walk on the street or go by on their motorbikes or whatever. And so the culture here in Africa is a very vibrant culture, and it's a very colorful and energetic culture. You know, the African people have a saying that we do everything with vigor. And so that pretty much describes everything that they do. It's with vigor, it's with energy, it's with passion. They don't have a lot of thought into a lot of things they do. It's just cultural stuff that has been passed down to them. And so when missionaries came here to Africa, primarily in the 1800s, they found people who were worshiping idols, people who consulted the witch doctor for just about all of their life decisions. And so as we tried to preach to these people here, even many years later, many of them are bound by cultural tradition. Many of them are bound by witch doctor tradition. And witch doctors are simply men or women who cooperate with the demonic realm, and they get things to happen in the demonic realm by working with familiar spirits. And they become so deep in the demonic realm and so cooperating with these familiar spirits that they can actually bring death to people. They can bring sickness to people. They can move objects around in people's homes. All of these things are in the authority or within the power of the witch doctor. And so Paul is here in Athens, which is over in Greece, and he's saying, this statue that you have here, that you have the inscription on this statue, "To the unknown God," is the God that I'm going to tell you about. Paul says, I'm going to make this God known to you. So this one that you have been praying to or honoring, this one that you have been giving homage to, and you call him the unknown God, this God is the one that I know personally, and his name is Jehovah God. He is Creator God. The one that you're calling the unknown God is the Creator God, and this one I proclaim to you. Verse 24, Paul says, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life and breath and all things. And he has made, verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him or search for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. And so Paul is telling them about the Creator God, Jehovah God, the Father of Jesus Christ, and he tells them that this God, that you don't know his name and you don't know who he is, this God, Creator God, we are his offspring, we are made in his image, and he doesn't live in temples, he doesn't reside in a stone idol, he doesn't reside in things made by men's hands. He is the living God, and he is the creator of all things, and he created you to worship him and to love him and to honor him. Well, for those of us who are born-again believers, we know how true this is. We thank God that in America we have a culture and we have tradition of honoring Creator God, Jehovah God. I was given the opportunity to know about Creator God through my parents and my grandparents. They were all Christian. And so we have a culture in America that we can be very thankful for, that we don't have to guess about who this unknown God is. Everybody has an opportunity to have a Bible in their hand. Everybody has an opportunity to go to Bible college. Everybody has an opportunity to study the Bible. And you can spend your days reading the Bible if you want. We have freedom of religion. You can go to church every Sunday. You can go to church on Wednesday. You can go to church in the morning and pray if you want. We have freedom of religion. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that is to have this kind of freedom. Because if you lived in communist China or some of the other Muslim nations of the world, you would be very constrained. You would be very constricted to know about the Lord. And it would be very confining for you to even try to search things out and to get your hands on the Bible. May be a precarious thing for you, may cost you your life. And so we have a lot to be thankful for in America. And so Paul is preaching to these people, and he says in verse 30, truly the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man Jesus, whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. And so Paul preaches the gospel message. He's saying the ignorance of people has been overlooked, but now, because the message is known, because the resurrection of Jesus is known, he's saying, I'm here to tell you about this man Jesus who God has ordained. I'm here to tell you that this man who was resurrected from the dead died for your sins. And so that is the message for you today. That's what I'm here to tell you. Those of you listening here on the radio today, we have the opportunity in America and the blessings in America, the privilege and the freedom to preach over the radio. We have the opportunity to preach on television and through the internet, through Facebook, Instagram, all these different social media sites. And the message for you today is the day of ignorance is over, and you will be held responsible for what you know, for what is available to you to know. You will be held responsible for that. And so if you walk away from the message today and you say, I don't need Jesus, I'm doing just fine by myself, I'm doing just fine on my own, if you walk away from this message today and you don't accept Jesus, you're going to be held responsible for it, because God has given you an opportunity and the Holy Spirit has convicted you to know and to pursue and to grope for, as Paul says, to grope for and to know and to find him. And the Lord says that those who seek me will find me. And if you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. And so maybe some of you out there today, you're not born again. You don't know about Jesus as your Lord. Well, you can seek the Lord. You can go to my website, gatheroftheoutcast.com, and I have about 200 or 300 past radio broadcasts there. And so you can listen to them and you can find out what the Bible says to you, what God's word says to you. You can find out about Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, why he died on the cross for your sin. You can find out all of that stuff, and you have no excuse then for your ignorance. The times of overlooking ignorance are quickly coming to pass. There's still a few places in the world where people have never heard the gospel. Here in Africa, there are people who have not heard the gospel before. They're in remote villages. Even this village, we're preaching this crusade in this week. I'm sure there's some Muslims there that have never heard the gospel. There's some older people there that look like they've been out in the wilderness area for a while. And so I'm sure there's some people there who have not heard the good news of the gospel. That's one of the reasons we go and preach crusades in these villages, is to tell people the good news, to let them know that Jesus Christ died for them. Let them know that they have an opportunity to say yes to Jesus and to inherit eternal life with Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to jump over to Romans chapter 1 and start in verse 17. And the question about the ignorance of people and people who have never had the gospel preached to them, are they absolved of all responsibility when it comes to salvation? Are they absolved of all responsibility when it comes to their judgment and their eternal life after they die? What happens to them if they've never had anybody preach the gospel to them? Well, I've had this situation occur in my life because I went to Costa Rica several times back in 2003 to 2008. I went to Costa Rica several times and I preached to the Quebecer indigenous people way up in the jungles, the forested jungles in the southern part of Costa Rica, a big mountain range up in there. And there was a river there called the Chirripó River that I had to cross and went in with some teams. And we crossed that river and went miles back into this jungle and preached the gospel to indigenous people who had just recently, within the prior 10 years or so, been contacted by missionaries and heard the gospel for the very first time. And so the question then comes up, do these people know about God who have never been preached about Jesus Christ? Do they know about God? Do they have a concept of God? And those Quebecer people, those indigenous people up in the remote area of Costa Rica, they already had a name for Creator God, the one we call Jehovah. They called him Sekekala, Creator God. And they knew, innately, they knew, because God gave them revelation of himself, that this Creator God was the creator of heaven and earth, just as Paul was saying back there in that passage of scripture in the book of Acts. Creator God, those who seek him, those who grope for him, they will find him. Well, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, well, let's start in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And so here's some very, very profound statements Paul is making. He's saying, first of all, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So he's saying that there is an ungodliness, there's an unrighteousness that suppresses the truth of the one true living God, that suppresses the truth of God's plan for mankind, it suppresses the truth for the knowledge of God's creation. And so this unrighteousness, this ungodliness, it is the work of the devil, which we know from other writings of Paul and even in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 14 tells us about the desire of Satan, the desire of Lucifer to take over the throne of God, to ascend to the mountain of God and take over God's place in heaven. And then also in Ezekiel chapter 28, we find there the description of Lucifer himself. He was the anointed cherub in heaven. He was the shining one, the most beautiful one, a worship leader of all the praise and worship in heaven. And so we know from reading God's word about the story of Lucifer and about who the devil is and the hierarchy of the devil. And so God says that this unrighteousness suppresses the truth. And he says, verse 19, what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Well, how has he shown it to them? Verse 20, he speaks about this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead or divinity, so that they are without excuse. And so this is really a profound statement, and it explains how people who have never had the gospel preached to them, they've never had missionaries visit them, they've never listened to any podcast on the internet, how can they know about God? And Paul makes this profound statement here, and he says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and divinity or Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so they know, and this was true of the Quebecer people in Costa Rica. I found out that when the Baptist missionaries came there in 1990 or so, they already understood, the Quebecers already understood that there was a creator God and that he was responsible for the seasons. He was responsible for all creation. Everything had an order to it. Everything had a timeline to it. And there was some of the Quebecer people in different villages who rejected that truth. That truth was suppressed and it was not honored. And so some of these villages, people were for the most part drunkards. And so they did not understand Creator God or did not want to acknowledge Creator God. And so in verse 20, Paul says they don't have an excuse because he has shown people enough of himself, and his invisible attributes are widely known through his creation. And when you think about it, beloved, everybody marvels at creation. When you look at the trees, when you look at the sky, when you look at the stars, the universe, and the signs in the heaven, that's why red moons and all of those types of things are signs in the heavens to us, given to us by God, and things like comets things like asteroids, things like eclipses, all of those things then are signs to us of a creator God who's given us a universe that gives us signs and gives us visible evidence that God, the creator, is behind all of those things. Well, Paul goes on to say here in verse 21, because although people knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Well, that pretty much describes people who suppress the truth. Professing to be wise, they become fools, and people are always very willing to pat themselves on the back. Pride takes over in their life. They think they're so smart. They think they have a handle on all of the answers in life. But beloved, when you get to the point of your death, you may not have the answers that you need unless you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I would challenge you today to get to know the unknown God in your life. Maybe you don't know God. Maybe you don't know anything about Jesus Christ, his son. I would challenge you today, get to know God. Again, you can go to my website, gatheroftheoutcast.com, and listen to hundreds of radio archive broadcasts. Listen to those. Get you a Bible if you don't have one. Start to read it. Start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the story of Jesus, and get to know Creator God in your life. Get to know his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved, you will be so happy that you did that. You'll have peace. You'll have joy that you can't comprehend, and you will see your life turn around, and you'll start to find a purpose when you get to know the unknown God in your life. You'll start to see that he has a purpose for you, that you are his offspring as well, just as Paul talked about in Acts 17, that you are his offspring. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you, and he wants to see you fulfill it. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, for all the many years that we have been on the air. And we invite you to help support this ministry and help support the work that we're doing in Africa. If you would sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening. If you have prayer requests, we'd be happy to pray with you about your prayer requests. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.